Radio Televizija Srbije. Radio Beograd 2.
Ready?
Ready.
Tačno 3.
Grad.
Grad.
And now, we shall begin.
Radio Televizija Srbije.
Ready?
Ready.
Radio Beograd 2.
Tačno 3.
Grad.
Grad.
Umetnika iz celog sveta.
5
izložbenih prostora.
6
nedelja.
Od 15. septembra
do 28. oktobra.
57.
Oktobarski salon.
Čudo kakofonije.
I am Daniel Koran. I am a curator for the Reykjavik Art Museum and mostly working on the Eros work.
My name is Gunnar Kvaran. I'm a director for the Astrofanley Museum in Oslo.
It is not the first time you are here at October Salon.
No. I was invited here to be a part of the jury for the last October Salon, 2 years ago.
Was it the first time you heard about October Salon? It is for the both questions.
Yes. We had heard about the October Salon, but we did not know very well about the institution or the art scene in Belgrade.
You also heard then first time?
Yeah, we are at the same time.
So was it easy for you or easier when they said, please be the creator of the next?
Yeah, it was an interesting proposal, and I had already worked on two other biennales. I was a co-curator for the Moscow Biennale together with Daniel Birnbaum and Hans-Ulrich Obrist some years ago, and then in 2012-13 I was the curator of the Lyon Biennale in France. So this was an interesting challenge, but it was of course very interesting to be able to work on this together.
And working together means that you have to negotiate?
Sometimes, yeah. Yes, sometimes we needed to negotiate.
How did you choose the local artists? Who told you about them, or you were investigating, or what was the way how to you take them?
Yeah, we have many years of experience in going into different kinds of art scenes and doing a research. So what we did this time, it was exactly the same. We had a small network in the beginning here in Belgrade, and then of course we have colleagues and friends all over the Balkans, and we reactivated all these connections, and so we were able to get in contact with very different kind of art scenes in the Balkans, but also inside of Serbia. So first, of course, we met some people who guided us to certain kind of artists, but at the same time, we were doing our own research, and we knew, historically speaking, about a number of artists. So we've been working on this for nearly 2 years. So we were, in fact, even more, because we were approached before the beginning of the last October Salon. So it has taken us 2-3 years to map the situation in the Balkans and in Serbia, and of course another very important thing was to find all the Serbian artists who are living abroad. Because there's an enormous lot of very important artists from Serbia who are settled in Paris or in New York or in different other places.
Including Marina Abramović.
Including Marina Abramović, of course.
You said that you have experience working with Moscow Biennale and working with Lyon. Yeah. These two biennales are in different geography places of Europe. You have Eastern, let's say, art, and you have Central European art. Does it have an importance where is the Biennale, geography speaking?
Yes, of course. It's especially today, it has maybe a more important meaning, because as we have initiated in terms of the concept of the Biennale, we are very much preoccupied by this visible diversity that we can see today in the international art world. The fact there is no more one denominator that dominates the international art scene like it used to do in the 50s in Paris or New York, or in the 60s and the 70s in the New York. The situation was more vertical at the time, and everything outside of these main centers were some kind of provincial situations. But today, the situation is very different in the fact that there is no denominator, there is no one domination. So the whole international art scene is more horizontal, and there is more as an equal parts of or equal relationship between the art scene in China and South America, in North America, in Europe, and in the Balkans. And then what is, of course, very important is that we have, of course, seen that the international art scene has altogether adopted the Western notion of art. The Western notion of art has become a universal language. Right? But we can see that this language gives different kind of results in Africa or in China or in the Balkans. So there is, of course, a less difference between the Serbian art scene and the French and the German art scene compared to the Chinese or the Indian or the African art scene.
Soldatensender Radio Belgrad.
Wie einst Lily Marlin, wie einst Lily Marlin.
So when you are making Biennale, you are trying to make Biennale with, let's say, mixed local artists and some international artists.
In fact, it depends on the concept. This time in Belgrade, we proposed this concept because of the world situation. Mm-hmm. And so we think that this Biennale will reflect in a modest way, in a fragmented way, the world situation in in terms of the contemporary art scene. That means that the international contemporary art scene characterizes by, first of all, diversity in terms of languages, in terms of materials, in terms of thematics, and these different kinds of artists are more or less related to some kind of cultural premises.
So you don't have central figure in your concept of the exhibition?
No, I mean,
because we have stars here.
Absolutely, okay. And yes. But we say that, of course, it's very important to understand also the star system. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we often mix together the commercial art system together with the art world. And the commercial art world is really a very small part of the international art world. Most of the artists in the world don't live directly from their art. I mean, in France, there was a survey showing that there are probably 3 to 5% of the artists that are living from their art. Most of them are working as teachers or have some kind of second job or they have some kind of other conditions. So inside of the commercial art world, we still have a very vertical star system, but it is based on economy, on finance, on the price of the works, which has not really to do with the importance of the artist in the big scale. But of course, the commercial art world is also intelligent, and that's why Picasso and Pollock and Rothko and Andy Warhol, Murakami and Kiefer, they have passed through the commercial art world, but they are most of all an important part of the international global art world.
So how do you set up this exhibition? It is important how one art piece is influencing on the other art piece, and it is not a simple thing.
No, but it's in fact the it was important to first of all find a diversity of artists, men and women, equal man number of men and equal number of women artists.
36 of women and 36 of men. Yes. 72 artists.
Yeah. And then it was very important for us to choose different works. Mm-hmm. That there should not be variations of works. There should be very clear artistic languages showing clearly the originality and the personality of each of the artists. So every artwork is very distinct. So this is a collection of individual artworks, and this constellation makes up the cacophony. Mm-hmm. So it's not about having showing works that are showing cacophony, or that cacophony is an inherent part of the work. It can be. In some cases, we can come close to that kind of situation, but that is not important. The important thing was to show, in fact, the great diversity. And then when you go through the exhibition, you will, like going through the world, you will experience this kind of great diversity in terms of materials, in terms of language, and in terms of thematics.
In other words, the art pieces are making cacophony.
Yeah.
So we have a scene and something like theater,
yeah,
let's say, or film.
Yeah.
And the space here in Resavska Street is really, I think, or do you think, like stage?
Yeah.
It is not a gallery in classical way of thinking.
Yeah. It's a very interesting, in fact, you're totally right, and it's very interesting to, there is a certain kind of openness to the world in the building, in the architecture, even though it is a very solid building and quite closed. But it doesn't really do the separation and isolation that many white cube exhibition spaces can easily do. So there is a certain kind of organic flow in the building because of the building itself. The first piece is the piece by Ólafur Eliasson called Utopia. Mm-hmm. It's a participation piece, mm-hmm, where you are invited to press a button, mm-hmm, and then appears on the screen the word Utopia, and it is a flashlight that really sticks to your retina, mm-hmm, and for some seconds or even minutes you will have utopia in your eyes and in your head.
In other words, you will not see anything. you mentioned utopia. Utopia, yeah, and dystopia. You have it here a lot.
Of course. We have a lot of different themes with different artists in the exhibition, and it goes from extreme ideas about dystopia and, of course, utopia as well. But Ólafur has the most direct approach to utopia, but in a very personal way to include the participants in the lecture and in the experience of the utopia.
I think that we are now living in the world that we are talking or making art mostly about dystopia. We don't have a lot of utopias anymore.
I mean, of course.
Do you think I'm wrong, maybe? Or
I think there are. It depends on. For example, in the works of Yoko Ono, that is dealing with
women and their problems, yeah, in their lives.
Yeah, for example, and she is it's a very utopian, yeah, attitude with Yoko Ono, especially the mending piece, which is of course the broken cups and dishes that people are invited to restore and to repair, and that is of course a healing process related to a war situation. In her case, it was absolutely directly connected to the Hiroshima and to the Japanese to the Second World War in Japan. And then she has this the racing, of course, which is absolutely a very international, global problem, which is, of course, something that exists, and it is the violence against women in the world. And she addresses this as in with the hope to be able to heal or to put her light on this kind of situation, so we will be able to transform it for the better. And Mummy is Beautiful is also a part of the piece that where you talk about your relationship with your mother. So, of course, Yoko Ono is a little bit of a special artist in this case. But there are many artists, I think, that we can relate to utopia situation with in questions of identity, the questions of religion, the questions of environment, and these are all artists that are optimists, and they are trying to construct new kind of futures. But then you have other artists who are more worried and about the situation, like people like Cora Crete and Annika E and Polska, who Polska, for example, is dealing directly with the effects of the sun and what is happening in our environment today.
This film is about an observer that influences events through the act of observation.
This film is about love. They say that if something catastrophic were to happen, and language, justice, tolerance were to disappear from the face of the earth, all that would remain would be the words that I speak to you. And whatever came next, it would be built on the words that I tell you. Whatever comes next, it will be built on the words that I tell you.
And she is quite pessimistic about the situation. But this kind of pessimistic attitude is also a certain kind of way to return the situation. These artists like Annika E. and Cora Crete, they are more preoccupied by addressing these kind of issues with speculative narratives that are semi-scientific, science fiction and scientific, and they are aware that there have happens a lot of problematic things in the environments, in the world in general, related to man, what man has, what humankind has done in the last 50-100 years. It's strange, but there is quite many of the American artists, who these foreign artists who are living in America, who have this kind of a very strong preoccupation of what is happening in the global environment.
Have any artist who you will take with you from Serbia to other exhibitions or biennales?
Of course. I mean, Daniel in Reykjavik, and I am in Oslo, and it's absolutely, we knew about certain artists in this part of the world, mm-hmm. and we have very good colleagues also in Slovenia, in Croatia, in different parts of Balkans and different museums of Balkans. So we had a certain kind of... We discovered also a lot of very young artists that were not yet in the big circuit of international contemporary art. Your question is totally relevant because these local artist and the young artist that we have chosen from the Balkans are totally on the same level as the rest of the exhibition.
But they are not in the center of the Europe.
No.
They are not living in the center of the Europe.
Not yet.
Not yet, no. But maybe.
No, but I mean, I think that what is happening now today is also that, for example, with this kind of more horizontal mm-hmm. situation in the art world, there is more possibilities of getting global attention. So I think that there are no centers anymore, but you can say there are some commercial centers.
What is for you Balkan from a Norwegian perspective?
A Scandinavian perspective.
What is Balkan?
How
mean
do you understand Balkan? What geography?
Yes, we understand it as a constellation of different nations and cultures placed in a certain part of the world, which is the Balkans.
And what is the Balkan project?
No, Balkan project is a project that was initiated by Maria Karan. And she is from Belgrade, and she created this project, which is in fact a foundation that is supposed to promote international art in the Balkans and Balkan artists internationally.
Is it utopian thinking now that art can change the world?
I think that I don't think that art by itself can change the world overnight or in the short term. But I think that certain artists, they can put the light on different kinds of problems in the world that then has to be treated by different kind of actors, political, financial, cultural actors. But, I mean, there are artists like Yoko Ono, once again, that has been extremely present in the discussion about the world peace. We all remember her presence together with John Lennon during the Vietnam War, which was incredibly powerful. I mean, they even frightened the American authorities at the time, and they got problems with their visa in America. So it shows that artists, musicians or visual artists or actors can have a very strong voice in the international context. And then you have an important artist who is Ai Weiwei, who has in the last years brought in very important topics in terms of freedom of expression and the tragedy of the immigrants. And he has been very powerful in that kind of context.
Do you have art pieces that are made especially for this exhibition?
Most of the works are existing works.
Marguerite Humeau, she did a special work for the Biennale. Romuald Azoumé from Africa will do a special work from the Biennale. So you have many artists who will do a special work from the Biennale in situ works.
You will have some provocative art pieces, provocative for this, let's say, audience. Or you don't know still.
Yeah, it's difficult for us to say what is provocative.
Yes. Right?
Because, I mean, we are so tolerant and we are so open and we don't know what really people, how people will react. But, I mean, there are very political works here, like with Yasmin Nazibik, who is talking about art and ideology, art and politics, how politicians manipulate certain kind of artistic languages. It is very powerful and it is really determining in her ways of expressing.
The exhibition is not set up still.
No.
What do you want from the audience? To enjoy the exhibition, to think, to be frightened, to learn something new, or all of that, or some other thing? Or
I think you are touching most of it.
Yeah.
But okay. I think that today and this exhibition, we want to touch the public. And this exhibition is not only done for the local intelligentsia or for the local art scene. Okay. This is an exhibition that should appeal and should interest the big public, the public in general.
International,
you are international, but also local. But normal working people.
People,
mm-hmm. Because most of the artworks they have a clear aesthetical qualities. They are all with some kind of determined language. There is very few invisible or purely conceptual works. So we are talking about installations, sculptures, and paintings that have a very strong aesthetical presence. All of the works are more or less narratives. So they will tell us some kind of stories. So all the works will have a possibility to give the public a strong experience. It depends on the viewer, but we can guarantee that all the viewers will have a certain kind of understanding and experience of the forms and the figures and the colors and the narratives that are being told in these works. And then, of course, more knowledge you have, more you can dive into the proposals of these artworks.
72 umetnika iz celog sveta. 5 izložbenih prostora. 6 nedelja. Od 15. septembra do 28. oktobra.
57.
Oktobarski salon.
Čudo kakofonije.
Are these different spaces the different stories in art?
No, these five places, mm-hmm. they are like a metaphor for the exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
Because this exhibition, as we say, doesn't have any center.
Mm-hmm.
So if we would have only one exhibition space, then we would have concentrated all things. It would be a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
So then we thought that it would be interesting, first of all, to include all these different actors in the city of Belgrade, but also to have the possibility to geographically be present in different parts of the city and to be able in this way to have a certain kind of more horizontal mm-hmm. presence, but at the same time it will accentuate the cacophony mm-hmm. of the exhibition.
But you in the new space, this is the gallery of Serbian academic, yeah. of scientist. It is like all stars there. We have October Salon there.
Yeah. No, but that is the best.
Never. We no. didn't have it.
Yeah. No, because we thought that it was really very important to get the Academy of Art and Science into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because we understood that it had not been into the game. But there are important artists in already in the Academy. Mm-hmm. And like Duchamp and like Velikovic, I mean, these are one of the greatest artists in the.
You think Duchamp, Otashevich, and Velikovic, our artists, yeah. they are in the academy.
No, they will be
here.
Velikovic will be there,
yeah.
and Duchamp will be here,
mm-hmm.
because he's from there. We thought it would be better to have him here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, understand. Yes.
And we thought it would be interesting to have him, yeah. somewhere in the middle, so we placed him next to Yoko Ono as a part of that kind of provocation or mm-hmm. or philosophical thoughts. We can in fact reveal to you, but it's a total secret, why all the stars finally found their place in the Academy of Art and Science.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a total secret, so the Serbian nation has to keep it as a secret.
A secret.
Yeah. It is because the conservation conditions at the Academy of Art and Science are unique, are the best. They have the best climate, and they have the best heating system. They have the best security.
Mm-hmm.
So, with the works of these very different artists, Fabrice Ibert, Tom Sachs, Murakami,
Kiefer,
Velikovic. These works are most of them very fragile, and of course they have entered the commercial art world, so they are quite expensive also, so we had to be careful about this work. So including Cindy Sherman, but of course the biggest star is not in the Academy of Art and Science. Yoko Ono is outside of the Academy of Art and Science. She is here.
Was there an artist who said no?
Yeah, there was one artist that we wanted to include into the exhibition, and he did never say no, but we didn't make it work, and it was David Hockney. And that was a pity, because in our first plans we had David Hockney in our on our list, and we thought it was really interesting because David Hockney had a private solo show here in Belgrade in the 60s, very early, and we understand that there is probably one or two David Hockney works in Belgrade or in Serbia, but because of some kind of complication, we were not able to fulfill this.
Marina.
Yes. Of course. Yeah, that was the most important. It's good, you know. Daniel has also the memory. You know, she has a good memory. I had already forgotten about this. So we wanted to we invited it, Marina Abramović.
Yes.
And then she said yes. She was really excited about it. And then she got an offer. Because she's going to have a show, and the conditions of that show was that she should not take part in the Biennale. And this, of course, we respect. But we thought it was a pity that she was not included into the Biennale, because there would have been a very interesting place for her in this Biennale, together with people like Yoko, like Kiefer, like all these international artists, and she is really one of the artists who represents the local and the international art scene at the same time. But you can't get everything. We come from Northern Europe. We come from Scandinavia, which has never been the center of the world, of course. And it's a little bit like the Balkans. And of course, Danielle comes from France, but she comes from Marseille,
from
the south of France.
Paris.
Paris. Danielle felt at home here immediately. I, coming from the north, have a little bit more of a distance to things and people, but no. It is a southern country, of course.
We are kissing, hugging, and quarreling.
Exactly, like your neighbors in Italy, like your neighbors in south of France, like your neighbors in Spain. Huh?
And from time to time, we are crying. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Radio Televisione di Kosovo.
Umetnika iz celog sveta.
5
izložbenih
prostora.
6
nedelja.
Od 15. septembra
do 28. oktobra.
57.
Oktobarski salon.
Čudo kakofonije.
They say the wildest.
scattered across the coast. Once a year I'll see them for a week or so at most. I
take a walk.
Grazie.
Grazie.